The other day, out of the blue, discouragement washed over me. Words spoken poured over my soul like a bucket of cold water. It was terrible. I'm about to confess something to you that took me by surprise. So when I tell you, please don't think less of me. I can't believe the thought came to my mind either. But I actually thought, God hates me. Yep. Those words fluttered through my mind. I have never had such a terrible thought, and I pray I never entertain it again. Don't worry, the thought is gone, or I wouldn't be telling you this. Keep on reading. The lie within discouragement. I knew this hateful thought wasn't from the Lord, but it hung heavy in my spirit. All evening I wrestled and silently prayed for God to help me, and the most remarkable thing happened. Checking the mail later that night, I found a very sweet, encouraging note from one of my friends. Encouraging words at just the right time. God also led me to a post I had written a few years ago. He's so good to us. My friends, he does not hate us. It's quite the opposite. Though when we are discouraged, doors slammed in our faces time and time again, dreams so far out of reach, it sure can feel that way. You know, some of the greatest men and women of faith battled discouragement. One of them was Billy Graham. I love this quote from him. He said, "The Christian life is not a constant high. I have my moments of deep discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, 'Oh God, forgive me,' or 'Help me.'" Y'all, the fact that Billy Graham felt discouraged makes me feel better. If such a great evangelist who brought millions to faith in Jesus had his downhearted, frustrated, "I want to quit" days, it gives me hope. There's something powerful about camaraderie in our struggles. But biblical giants also experienced discouragement, and one of them was Elijah. Elijah cried out to God, "I have had enough, Lord." He said, "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Y'all, he wanted to die. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. God had sent fire from heaven and power and had proved his power. Yet Elijah felt defeated. Israel had not turned their hearts to God as he hoped, and Queen Jezebel, well, she was demanding his death. Gosh, when we're stuck in discouragement, we think we're all alone, as Elijah did, but God countered Elijah's perspective. He had not failed. 7,000 believers lived in Israel. 7,000. You know, discouragement tells us God does not care. Or we aren't good enough. Or he hates us. But none of that is true, is it? How do I know it's not true? Well, I know because my discouragement loses its strength when I turn to God. My hope is always renewed when my focus returns to him. When discouragement and fear overshadowed Elijah, he ran. But once he stopped running, he cried out to God, and God met him there. I think we can learn from this story. When we are tired, frustrated, and discouraged, we need to, number one, get away from the problem. Take a walk. Go for a drive. Take a day off of work. Get a babysitter so you can have a few hours away. Turn off the computer, stop working on the project. Y'all, go sit under a tree. That's what Elijah did. Cry out to God. Number two, cry out to God. Say, "I quit." I know that seems to be the antithesis of this post, but sometimes we need to get out of the way and let God be God. He had Elijah's problem all figured out. If we feel we're banging our head against a brick wall, we need advice from God. We need to do it his way. Confess your discouragement and repent your lack of trust. Repenting means turning back. And some of us need to stop trying to do things our way and turn back to God for help. And the third thing we can do to battle discouragement and to pray is to pray for His vision and truth. Ask God to help you see you aren't alone in your faith or your fight. Grab a Bible and ask Him to speak to you through His Word. And write it down. Use the Bible. Use the Bible and verses to help you defeat discouragement. I've written a Bible reading plan this week with 5 verses. The first is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Y'all, I love this verse. But there's something special about a word study in this verse. The word commanded in Hebrew also means to appoint or to call. And so I believe God was saying to Joshua, have I not called you? Have I not appointed you? Be strong and courageous. So God was saying, I have put you here. I have called you to this. If I didn't think you could do it, I wouldn't put you there. So I love that. So in the prompt I said, according to the rest of the scripture, why should you not be discouraged? And it's because God is with you. So to write a prayer asking to experience more of God's presence. John 16:33 says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus said this to his disciples as he warned them of his death. They would experience discouragement beyond their faith. They would abandon him and scatter, but Jesus promised his peace in the midst of the trouble. Pray for his peace to fill you during this time of discouragement and ask him what other things you can learn in this verse. Study it for a while and listen for his whisper. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. And pray for God's grace to strengthen you. The word mercy is actually eleos, and it means action taken out of compassion. This is often a healing type of action. If you're discouraged, cry out for His grace and eleos. He understands us. John 14:25 and 28 says, all of this I've spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now, how much have you been trying to do on your own? Have you depended on the Holy Spirit? Write a prayer of confession then and ask for the Spirit to help you. Wait to follow His lead. Write down what you think He's saying. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. The prompt in the scripture is to take courage. Discouragement eats away at our courage. Wait on God. If things aren't turning out the way you dreamed or hope, wait on Him. That involves trusting Him, His timing and His plans for the outcome. As you wait, you need to worship. Turn on your favorite worship song or Christian radio station and dance in your kitchen today. Also, begin each day during this season of discouragement on your knees in prayer. You know, the rest of Elijah's story gives me hope. After sleep and food, he journeyed to the mountain of God, where the Lord spoke to him in a gentle, quiet, small whisper. God wasn't in the wind or the fire or the earthquake, but a whisper. And the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Sometimes we are looking for God to do something really big. We're expecting Him to blow us over or shake us up. He can do these things, But rather than looking for the big signs, we need to look for the small whisper. What are you doing here? He asked. Elijah told him, you can be honest with God too. Tell him why you're discouraged. Then wait for him to reply. Discouragement is dangerous. Discouragement is dangerous because it takes away our hope and our drive, our energy and our purpose. It makes us want to quit. The truth is, just because I don't feel good about today and discouragement may be threatening my resolve and joy may seem so far away, tomorrow will bring new mercies, new Elios, new help, hope, perspective. Sometimes I just need sleep. Or I just need new perspective, like what I find when I go for a walk or I sit at the ocean or I call a friend. I always feel better when I know I'm not the only one fighting negative thoughts. I counsel others that when the struggle is great, the enemy is worried and doing all it can do to shut us down. The evil serpent's whispers are lies. Truth distorted. After a few days of reeling from my terrible thought and feeling that God hated me, the Lord clearly showed me the truth. He said, I love you, but the enemy hates you. Y'all, the enemy of our destiny works to discourage us. But rather than being upset when you feel this way, view it as a sign that you must be doing something that the enemy doesn't like. He must be threatened by the Jesus in you, and your prayers for others, and your gifts and talents that you are using for the kingdom. Oh, for eyes to see what we're doing for God with eternal perspective. For eyes to see His economy and His views, and His economy as He views it, not with our world's vision. I'm praying for you. You are not alone. Remember.